for a bolt.
Whooping cough and anything that clung.
I remember when there was an outbreak of scarlet fever. Oh boy. And I was worried.
You tell me about this. Tell me about this water trough, because see, I remember the morning.
Memory for
a picture of that.
Sure, that too.
I'll get it. The one thing that we have here, we've got a copying camera.
Yes, that's what
the thing is. Bob Tannen. Did you meet Bob up there?
Yes.
He's got a little head camera.
Yeah. He was telling us that we have this camera. And I told Frank that I'm committed to it. My home is in Fort Langley, just outside of Anchorage. But for the time being, I'm on a project at Prince Rupert or north there. And I won't be there till probably Easter. And at which time I'll be going back to Fort Lane. I promised him that I would collect as much of this stuff that we have between my brothers and I. My brother Lloyd in Victoria has a fabulous collection of photos.
Right.
And brother Arthur has, and then I have. But this, that we have a picture of this watering pot. We have a picture of the old Alaska Landing street. What is it, that street now? I can't remember.
Well, that was Dakota Street.
Yeah, Strata Street, yeah.
And then over was Sarah Street. That was the one we had our store.
Well, Strathcona Street, looking down Strathcona Street from where my dad's shop was, and it looked right on the watering trough. And then just beyond the watering trough, across tracks, that's where all the horses used to, they had a huge public hitching rails there. And people from out of town went in, they would tie their horse there, and they would go shopping at Renna's store and that sort of thing.
Well, can you remember... What years? What years are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about.
I remember when
the sawmill burned down. We're talking about 19, maybe. I don't think I was more than about 3 years old when that thing burned, and I don't remember the day it burned. However, I remember I was very small. I would say I was 3 years old, so that was talking about 1980, when the old sawmill burned down. Mm. I remember, and we watched it. From the flames from the view of my father's shop. I don't see an ash here anywhere, Frank. And then father took us down to watch the fire. And the next day after the fire, when the fire was, I don't think they ever put it out. I think it just burned itself out because it was such a tremendous
fire. All that sawdust was burned.
Yeah, and the railroad tracks were twisted in like pretzels from the heat.
I don't remember that.
Oh, I remember that so plain. It's just like, do you remember when that big white horse, when they were right across the street from our shop was the old Royal Cafe. And next to that, going south, was Charlie Fix's garage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and in between that, they were putting in the sewer. And this big white horse fell in the ditch, upside down in the ditch, and they had to shoot it and pull it out of there. I remember that just as plain as if it happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. I was, it's before I go into school, because I used
to... Oh, I know what I'm doing. I'm forgotten. Excuse me. I know all these people, but I had already finished school. John, I went to school with Vern Lewis, Zona Nelson, Dale Nelson, we all were...
Oh, yeah, they together. Stayed on here to finish high school, or you didn't. You finished high school in Edmonton.
Yeah, but grade 9 was our last grade, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, grade
9,
yeah.
Because we had to write departmental exams, I did not
do that. No, that's right. School went up to grade 11.
Yes, but I was in grade 9 in 19, in that time, that these people here... I'm here, but I'm not here.
No, in your day, the school would go up to grade 12.
Yeah, it was 12, yeah.
Yeah.
But what, these are now, grade 9, why
just
wouldn't...
Let's, let's go back a long way, because you said that your mother came here in a covered wagon.
Yeah, we have pictures of that.
Now, do you mean she came to Athabasca?
No, to Joliet, Quebec. She went from Lawrence, Massachusetts to Quebec.
Yeah. And then from when there. Did she come to Alberta?
She came here by wagon.
From Joliet, Quebec?
No, from Edmonton.
How did she get from Lawrence, Massachusetts to Joliet, Quebec? How did she get from Joliet, Quebec over to Edmonton?
Her family moved to Joliet, Quebec after they arrived here.
Oh, was that?
Well, they didn't then she move from Massachusetts to,
no, I was in that
to Joliet, Quebec.
Joliet?
Yeah. Oh, no, Lawrence, Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah.
I made that point. I was working in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
They moved here by a covered wagon. Her mother and her father, who was the barber. Her father was a barber. Hey.
Where, in Athabasca?
Yes, he barbered here.
You said his name was Genereux.
Genereux, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, Genereux. Do you know about what year that would be that she came here?
Oh, goodness. Well, I don't know. Right off the top of my head, I couldn't say. With, you know, any, with any degree of accuracy, I couldn't tell you, Frank. However, I...
Before 1900.
Oh, yes. She was only 16.
See, the train came here in 1913.
Oh, that's...
What you're telling me. I'm not just sure if I can remember where we picked up, but...
What were we talking about?
We were talking about your mother coming into this area, and we were trying to figure out what year that would be. Now, you said that she was 16, I think.
When she got married. 15, she was married.
Well, where was she married?
She was 15.
Was she married in Athabasca?
Yeah.
They married here.
Their marriage was consummated here.
Yeah.
In Athabasca.
Father,
yes.
Damaris.
Father Damara.
Damara, or whatever.
Father Damara.
He was an old man then.
Oh, no, not.
Well, I ever was old to me.
Well, how old was she when she died?
Father Damara?
No, your mother.
Mother?
What year did she die?
Well, she's 10 years younger than father, than dad. Dad died in 57. Mother died in... I moved to the coast in 67. I think... It was 2 years after mother died. Seven? Yes, I think it was 65. But we'll know better. We're just going out to the grave.
See, your father and mother. Now, of course, if your father freighted, well, then obviously he came in before the railroad.
Yeah.
Well, he came down with our grandfather from North Dakota.
No, he and his brother Alec.
Wow. Well,
he and his brother Adolf
rode
up here from Valley City, North Dakota, on horseback, going up to the Peace River country. And they got as far as Edson, and where they were going to cross the ford the river at between Edson and Hinton, there was a place where they could ford the river on the horseback. Yeah. It was a shallow area. And it rained so much in the town of Edson during that month that they couldn't go any further. And Dad turned back and Adolf stayed there. And he's been there ever since. And that's my dad's younger brother, or one of his younger brothers.
At Edson.
Yeah.
That's right.
He's been there ever since. And his other brother, my Adolf, he died in Edson. There was two of the brothers there. And Dad, he went back to the Dakotas and then returned here. Or he stayed on in Edmonton. I'm not quite sure, Frank. I'm not really sure of that part of the family history. However, the next time I'm in Edson, and I was just there last week, I will stop and see Adolf, and I will be able to bring you a lot more information with regard to this, because Adolf knows. Adolf traveled with Dad, and he knows the whole history. And I imagine that Adolf may even have some old pictures.
Your father was a tremendous sportsman.
Yes.
I remember him shooting ducks, and I also remember him fishing in the river.
He used to set in the night lines.
Yeah.
And I remember him going down in the mornings to look at these night lines and coming up with a great big fish.
Yeah.
Well then, when
he and Louis Pottery were great friends.
Yeah.
And Jack McKenzie.
Mm-hmm. Well then, when did that family business kind of break up and everybody move away?
Well, our family?
Yeah. He had his woodworking shop where Nikovaschik has Mike's store now.
Right. And then they moved over to where, behind the old Anglican church.
That's right.
Where Jimmy Miller used to, you remember old Jimmy Miller used to live in the bush there?
Oh, I'd forgotten.
You remember Jimmy Miller?
Yes, I remember Jimmy Miller.
Well, I remember Gordon. Jimmy was Gordon's brother.
Was he? Jimmy lived all alone in a little shack. He was I'm not sure if he was a bachelor, but he lived alone. And we used to pass by his little shack on the way to church. We used to go through that. We used to go past the blacksmith shop where the old laundry used to be. Mm-hmm. What was that old blacksmith? Moon Fisher worked for him.
Sharp.
Moon Fisher was his nephew, I think.
Son-in-law. Stepson.
Whatever.
He married.
Oh, right. He used to have that crow on his shoulder all the time. He used to walk around with that pet crow on his shoulder.
Who, Sharp?
No, Moon Fisher.
Did he?
Yeah, because they lived right behind us, next to Jimmy Fisher.
That's right.
Or next to Lewis, in that big house there.
Yeah.
And he used to walk, he used to come home between Cull's drugstore and along that fence, you know, along the walk, and he always had a crow on his shoulder. Anyway, Jimmy Fisher used to live in that little shack behind the, just across from the Catholic Church, where the old Catholic Church used to be. And we used to walk through there. Well, right where his old shack was, that's where Dad set up his second shop.
Yes.
And that's where he built the second house, right across from the...
Yeah.
And
I remember
Roy
there.
Lived in that house. I didn't.
I took him a double-barreled shotgun that my father had bought for me from Jeff Koch's father.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a beautiful gun, but, you know, age had kind of got to it. And the lock
mm-hmm.
gave
a locking mechanism, yeah.
And I took it to your father because he was doing some gunsmithing at that time.
Oh, yeah. He always did gunsmithing.
And he never did fix it, and I never did get it back, didn't matter because I had another gun. But while he had that gun, he died. And it wasn't operable anyway.
It must have been some of the stuff at the shop when they...
I don't suppose I'd ever have got it fixed anyway, but I remember, you know, everybody had a tremendous opinion of your father's ability.
He was a machinist.
Yes.
He served his apprenticeship as a machinist in Sharp's...
Did he really?
Yes, he used to go there every night and serve his apprenticeship as...
He didn't have that trade before
machine.
King.
No, he served his apprenticeship as a machinist. He learned to be a machinist at Sharp's... on Sharp's lathe, and he got all the books from him, studied the books, and qualified as a machinist.
Well, now what happened to all your family?
Oh, my
See, Ray was drowned at Fort McMurray, wasn't he?
Yeah, Ray was drowned at Fort McMurray.
When we registered at school, we all had to do it ourselves. And this is myself writing my name, printing my name,
mm-hmm.
age 14, July 19th, 1929. Well,
mm-hmm.
no, that's, well, this was...
Now, who was the teacher at that time?
He's 14.
Must 14?
Have been there for summer.
Oh, she was...
Look at the size of the class.
You know what she was? Her name was Miss Dodd. Miss Dodd.
No. Oh, wait a minute. Margaret. Her husband was a dentist here. 1943, and she was a teacher. Eight,
well, my teacher was, Emmett, I remember her. But I can't find grade 9, though.
Well, we're pretty, our records are pretty sketchy, whether, here's a name now.
Neil, he used to play hockey.
Who?
And his Neil father was Hebert. Butcher.
Hebert. Hebert.
Yeah, his father was Butcher.
Oh, Hebert.
Neil Hebert.
Oh, yeah. Oh, goodness, yeah.
We played peewee hockey at that time, Roy McKenzie. We had to do this all ourselves.
Well, I remember coaching peewee hockey for a couple of years.
Oh, I remember that, too.
He used to play against Colton.
Quite a lot.
There was quite a few people in one room in this year. We had different teachers. Or one teacher taught more than one class.
Oh, yeah.
In one grade.
Yeah, there'd be sometimes two grades in a room.
Well, that was about the time when they would be putting two teachers in the high school.
Mm.
We had 45 in that class. In grade 8. And our teacher was Emmett. So grade 9 would be Miss Dodd. But I can't find it.
I can take you through that old school, do you know that?
Can you really?
Do you want to?
Can I just try and find grade 9? Would it be in this book here?
Oh, here. Kay Plumley was my teacher.
She taught me too.
Yeah.
She's still alive.
Yeah, I hear.
She taught me grade 1.
Bob
and
Priest.
She gave me spanking for sword fighting with a younger grandboy when she was out of school, ripped up on the desk playing the Count of Monte Cristo. Oh my. And she took us over and he spanked us with her hand. We were just so little.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Here's where they had three grades in one room at the same time.
And well, what do you mean that?
I was 35.
Yeah, I was 35.
I started teaching in that school in 38 and 39. I think I taught, or 39 and 40. I taught 39 and 40. I taught the grade 3 and 4 room, and then the 5 and 6. And then I left. But by that time, you see, there were 5 teachers. But at one time, there were only about 3.
Well, I need to find 1945. Now I understand.
I don't know that you will find 1945, and I'll tell you why. Because just about that time, and I'm not sure of the exact date, the county took over the Athabasca School. You see, Athabasca ran its own school independent of the county.
Yes.
And all of these records we got from the town hall, these are all, all those records are as long as the town itself ran the school.
Mm-hmm.
But when the county took over, then the county, of course, became responsible for storing the records. And they donated all their old records to the provincial archives. Now, the provincial archives...
That would be evident now, though.
Yeah. You know where it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's, Paul Puhatch, 1942. The attendance of those people according to the register for the school year July 1st, 43 to June 4th, 44. He's now a teacher of nuclear physics.
Yes,
in
I know.
Kingston.
In Kingston.
Yes.
No, I just...
You're so brilliant that he didn't even have to study. He didn't have to go to school. All he had to do was send home his report card. He should have done that. He was wasting his time.
I didn't know that, but he was working...
Stories told when they used to freight, they freighted from here, from Edmonton to here. What's this Fort Saskatchewan picture doing here? CNR entering Fort Saskatchewan, November 8, 1905.
Oh, that one laying the rail tracks, right?
Yeah, but no, it's just this.
the CNR entering Fort Saskatchewan. Oh, yeah, they're laying the steel.
Can you see it there?
Yeah, they're laying the steel, because there's the ties that don't have any rails on them.
Mm-hmm. And then the north on to Athabasca later on, after 1905.
This is Cull. Love, Dad, and I, Athabasca School. Cull. What does he have to do with the school?
Cull was chairman of the school board.
Was he?
The brick school was built.
Well, he must be in this picture on the dais or the.
Yeah, he was a small man with a big mustache. That could have been Harvey Cull there. Now his son Fred, you remember him?
Yeah, yes. Fred had the drugstore.
No, it was Harvey.
Oh, Harvey had the drugstore. Yeah.
Fred lives in BC, and he comes up to East Lake and spends a month every summer now.
Hmm.
He was here this summer, and he's given us a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to get you some stuff.
I can't understand this, George, with the railroad line only entering in 1905 to Fort Saskatchewan.
Yeah, I don't know what it's got to do with...
The railroad was in Athabasca then, was it not?
The railroad came to Athabasca in 13, I think.
So it took them all that time to go from Fort Saskatchewan to Athabasca?
You see, they were still freighting.
They were in the Alberta line.
Steel laying on sea, heading for Edmonton.
CNR.
What year was this? Oh gosh,
well, it was heading for Edmonton from Athabasca.
Not necessarily. It could have been going into Edmonton
from Fort Saskatchewan. This looks more like Fort Saskatchewan country. That
yes,
flat.
It does.
But this is and Athabasca.
Oh. Look, they rode that miller. That is a very famous story. They couldn't. They didn't have any equipment to carry that boiler.
Oh, yes. So they rolled it.
They wrapped it and rolled it.
All the way from
it. They made it like a... You see the frame they put around it?
Mm-hmm.
They made it into like a single wheel.
Only a 10-ton marine boiler. Medlin to Athabasca line, 100 miles. Probably that
A. Hamilton, moving contractor.
Where did I hear that story before? That's a very famous story. A
marine boiler, that must mean for one of the boats. Must have been one of the river boats.
Yep. Boats must have been pretty big if it was a 10-ton boiler.
Well, they were pretty big boats.
Now, do you want me to see if I... How well we can do of getting through the old school?
Oh, I'd just love to go there.
Frank, it's getting really late. Eh?
It'll only